If you are committed to God and he allows you or leads you into a dilemma, he wants you to watch him work.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord has more in mind than just changing our circumstances.
God just doesn't want to deliver you. He wants to change you as he prepares to deliver you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says we can be our own worst enemy when it comes to solving dilemmas in our lives. So today he'll talk about how we can learn to get out of the way so God can bring us deliverance and get credit for doing it. Let's join him.
Israel's greatest event comes out of a dilemma. They're being led out of Egypt to the promised land, and God is covering them by day with a cloud and illuminating them at night as he takes them to the Red Sea, today called the Gulf of Suez. Chapter 14, verse 10 says, "And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way to bring us out of Egypt? Is not this the word which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.'" The God who led them was creating a situation to box them in. If you are committed to God and he allows you or leads you into a dilemma, he wants you to watch him work. He puts you in a dilemma that you can't fix because he doesn't want you to fix it. He puts you in a situation you can't change because he doesn't want you to change it. He's put you in a catch-22 that you can't get out of because he doesn't want you to get out of it. The reason you're in it is because he wants you to watch him. He wants you to see what he can do when you can't help. Because if some of us weren't put in that situation, we'd never see God. Because we're always trying to help. And so he creates dilemmas where there is no human out. Finally, he says in verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." You see, when you're in a dilemma, you always feel like you got to tell somebody. And most of the folk you tell can't help you. They can't help you. Sometimes I know we're not looking for help. We're just looking for somebody to feel sorry with us. Well, they're in a dilemma. And he says, keep silent. Now, what does he mean by keep silent? Well, that takes us back up to what they were just doing. Because we look and it says that they were complaining to Moses. And they said, why? Isn't that the question you have in the dilemma? Why me? Why now? Why this? Why? God is saying, shh. Don't talk. Your kids ever talk when you don't want them talking? But God says, when you're caught in a dilemma and you don't know how to get out of it, because God has given you no options to get out of it, now is not the time to run your mouth. He says, keep silent, number one, because you don't know what you're talking about, because you don't have an answer. That's why it's a dilemma. And by all means, don't start complaining. Let me tell you something about complaining when you're in a dilemma. Complaining when you're in a dilemma that God has allowed you to get in that you can't fix works against the solution. Why? Because you're working against faith. All through the Old Testament, Israel is complaining. They're fussing about don't have meat, don't have water, don't have this, not knowing God put them in that situation intentionally. God created a dilemma. They were in a dilemma, and at the same time, in God's will, he led them, he put them, he backed them up, he told Pharaoh, go after them. All of that was God. According to the text, God shifted his position and moved from the front of Israel to the back of Israel. Now, why? Well, we're told he blocked Egypt from coming forward anymore. Then comes the good one, verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. That's that Cecil B. DeMille's verse. The Red Sea opens up. God will direct you. God will protect you. Then God will surprise you. This is an unexpected event. All they are walking to is drowning, as far as they can see. But they didn't know God was up to something. Verse 24 says, it came about in the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. God looked down on them and said, be confused. And caused their chariot wheels to swerve and made them die with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. There are 2 million people crossing, 2 million Israelites crossing over the Red Sea on dry land. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have thought twice about wading in the water. I'd have thought twice. Now, whoever made that wall of water go out can make it come back. So, Pharaoh, I love you, but I ain't crazy. And my mama didn't give birth to no fool. I'm not wading out in that water. The only problem is God confused their thinking. So logic was not the order of the day. He made them so mad, so determined, so irritated, aggravated, that they said, full steam ahead, go get them. They get out there, and guess what the text says? It says, and their wheels start swerving. Stuff getting stuck in the mud, stuff swerving all around. Stuff is being created by God. And they said, we better get out of here. So Moses, verse 26, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots, and over their horsemen. With the result in verse 29, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Now, that had to be a sight. We told earlier how many horses, how many chariots were sent. The next day they looked up and their confusion was dead. The stuff that was scaring them was no longer even around to scare them anymore, because God had fought the battle. They were wondering, how are we going to fight the battle? God says, if I have you in a dilemma, it's because I don't want you fighting the battle. The reason I have you in the dilemma is I want you to see the salvation of the Lord. Because he wants you to see him like you've never seen him before. Because he wants you to remember your Red Sea. Remember that time when there was no way out. There was no exit sign. And the Lord delivered you. Romans 15:4 says, listen to this, that the Old Testament stories were written for our instruction that we might have hope. You read the Old Testament, you say, well, what's that? That's Israel. That's their Red Sea. I'm in the New Testament. I don't live near Red Sea. What has the Old Testament got to do with me? Romans 15:4 says, the reason you read the Old Testament is because in those events are principles that you are to lift out and apply to you today. So it may have been old when it was written, but it's not old when it's applied. You can go back in that Old Testament and extract principles that will give you hope, he says, today. God uses dilemmas to disconnect us from our past. Egypt was their past. They grew up in Egypt. These people were born in Egypt. They raised their children in Egypt. So Egypt was all they knew. But God didn't want them in Egypt anymore. He wanted them to go to Canaan land. But in order to get them out, he had to create a crisis. If you're in a crisis, God doesn't want you where you used to be. We love the good old days. Some of us are hooked into the past. The good things in the past, the bad things in the past, and we are locked into the Egypt of our lives. God is creating a dilemma because he wants to cut you off from that past. Because he has something better in your future. Canaan is always better than Egypt, but because you haven't been there yet, you don't know it yet. He wants to eclipse you from your past. Why? Because according to chapter 14, verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a great change of heart toward the people, and they said, "What is this thing we've done that we let Israel go, watch this, from serving us?" You say, well, I don't think they wanted to serve him. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, the end of the verse says, "Why have you dealt with this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Leave us alone, we told you, that we may serve the Egyptians." They still had slavery in their hearts. They were slaves to the past.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more on that in just a moment. First, though, I want to remind you about a great resource we're making available for a few more days, the Kingdom Family Devotional, written by Dr. Evans and his son Jonathan. It covers 52 practical topics, one for each week, with a set of 5 devotionals for each topic. The material is simple enough to share with your kids, but meaty enough to challenge every member of your family to grow stronger in their faith while you grow closer to each other. Through Friday, we're offering a copy of the Kingdom Family Devotional as our thank you gift to those who support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount. On top of that, we'll also send you CDs of all 10 lessons in his current teaching series, The Comeback, including material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. Contact us right away and take advantage of this double offer before time runs out at the end of the week. Visit us at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
We've all experienced a time in our life where we could accept defeat or dig down deep and fight to come back from our downfall. Maybe you were fired from your job. Maybe you disappointed the people you love. Or maybe you're fighting for your life against cancer. Whatever the circumstance, you have to make the decision to come back stronger than ever. In his new book, Your Comeback, Tony Evans provides the inspiration you need to have your ultimate personal and spiritual comeback. Begin the journey to your comeback today. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Some of us are slaves to yesterday. Slaves to how we were raised, slaves to the pain of our youth, and we are caught and we don't know how to break away from it. God says, okay, I'll help you. I'm going to create a dilemma. But if you don't want the dilemma, you'll always return to Egypt. And guess what? You'll continue being a slave. So God has a designer dilemma for you. A dilemma with your name on it. To extract you from the past. Secondly, when you are in a dilemma, the only way to look is up. When you're in a dilemma, you look that way, no answer. This way, no answer. This way, no answer. That way, no answer. Well, there is another direction. Up. Because that's the only space God has given you to look. So why are we not looking there? The only way you can look in a dilemma is up. So look up. Thirdly, For God to give you the deliverance, he must get from you the surrender. Watch this now. In a dilemma, human solutions eclipse supernatural ones. You didn't hear that. If you're in a real sure enough dilemma, your human solutions will stop God's divine solutions. Because if he uses any part of your solutions, you can take part of the credit. And in a dilemma, he doesn't want you to have one iota of thing you can talk about yourself. He wants you to see the salvation of the Lord. So if you keep coming with this human stuff, when he's got you in a divine dilemma, you are eclipsing his supernatural work. Dilemmas are resolved at the Lord's command and not until. God decides when the dilemma is resolved, not you. Now that can be frustrating because God's clock and my clock are not the same clock. In my bedroom, I have an alarm on my side of the bed. My wife has an alarm on her side of the bed. On Sunday morning, my alarm goes off, and her alarm is set up for 30 minutes later because I got to come over earlier. When my alarm goes off, she does not jump out of bed. She's still asleep because my alarm is for me. Her alarm is for her. I have gotten up maybe on my own a few minutes before the alarm went off. I may be in the restroom taking a shower. The alarm goes off and it's going off. If it's buzzing when I go in, it's buzzing when I come out. She does not leave her warm spot to come to the other side to turn off my alarm because my alarm is for me. God does not listen to your alarm to determine when he gets up. God gets up when his clock goes off. It's according to his timing. That's frustrating. That can be irritating. But getting mad don't change a thing. So you got to keep silent. You got to surrender and you got to say, okay, Lord, your will, your time, not mine. But I can give you one suggestion why it may be taking a little bit of time. You see, when you come to Red Sea, you stand at the Red Sea and say, okay, God, I don't see nothing opening up over here. You are concerned about crossing the Red Sea. That's your concern. God is concerned about coming to the Red Sea. Let me put it another way. God just doesn't want to give you a miracle. Watch this now. He wants you to be the miracle. God just doesn't want to deliver you. He wants to change you as he prepares to deliver you. Everybody wants to be delivered. Nobody wants to be changed. But if he delivers the old you, then when you get on the other side of the river, he got the old mess too. He wants to change you, develop you, grow you, so that there's a new you crossing over through a new miracle. And finally, the reason God handles it this way in a dilemma is because God alone wants the applause when the deliverance has been gained. Verse 31. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. It says, when they saw what God did, oh my goodness. In fact, chapter 15 is a worship service. It's called the Song of Moses. They go ballistic in their praise. Moses' sister Miriam gets all the ladies together. They go over and have a women's praise meeting. It says, and they dance before the Lord. Because when you see your Red Sea open, you don't care who watching. When you see your Red Sea open, you don't care who looking. You just go get your praise on. Because you knew it was, if it wasn't for the Lord, you would be drowned too. You are in a catch 22. You're in a dilemma. Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. If a terrorist takes over a plane, they have now situated it so that within 2 minutes from any airport in America, fighter jets will be scrambled to that plane. If it is determined that that plane is going to jeopardize human life on a larger scale, like the scale we just saw, a decision will have to be made to shoot down the plane. Now, that's a dilemma. Do we shoot down the plane? Or do we let it go hoping that some other course of events, because either way is a no-win situation. If I shoot down the plane, I'm killing innocent American citizens. If I don't shoot down the plane and they run into a building, I could be killing many more innocent American citizens. It is the proverbial catch-22. So picture yourself. You're a pilot. You've been scrambled. You jump in your F-16, already equipped, and in a couple of minutes, you're flying alongside the plane. What do you do? Do you shoot down the plane? Or do you let the plane go because it might destroy so much more? The one flying the plane doesn't decide what we do. He's just there to follow orders. The President of the United States, the one who sits in charge, will make the decision about the course of action to take when our pilots are faced, God forbid, with that dilemma. Some of you are leaving here flying your own plane. And Satan has hijacked your situation. And you don't know whether to go there. If you do it over there, it's a mess. Everywhere it looks like a mess, and your life has been hijacked. And you don't know what to do. But I want you to take it easy in the cockpit because it's not your decision. God, who sits up in heaven, will tell you at the proper time what decision to make. You just keep on moving until heaven makes the decision. Because when heaven makes the decision, all the conditions will have been taken into consideration. And whatever decision heaven makes will be the best decision for you. It's not your choice. You see what the Lord has to say about the dilemma that you face.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how important it is for us to get out of the pilot seat of our lives, in a message he calls, How to Solve a Dilemma. It's just a part of our current series, a 10-lesson collection called The Comeback, which explains how God can set you free from whatever's held you back and show you why it's never too late to make a difference by being different. As I said earlier, these 10 full-length CDs are yours as our gift when you make a donation, any donation, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get the 52-week Kingdom Family Devotional book I told you about. But this special double offer runs out on Friday, so be sure to make the arrangements today at TonyEvans.org. That's also the place to go to find out how you can enter to win a free trip for you and a guest to the Holy Land with Dr. Evans this November. Don't miss out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. When life gets thorny, many times our only instinct is to try to get things back to normal. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains that God just might have something bigger in mind. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.